Welcome to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson, a space designed to help you create amazing relationships with yourself and others. Get ready to experience hope, love, and inspiration. Here's your host, Kim Wilson.
Greetings. I'm Kim Wilson, your relationship expert. Today we're talking about anger. And just so you know, I do have a certification in anger management, and I have taught classes, counseled, and coached clients in this area. I'm covering anger because I see a lot of relationships break down because of this emotion not being controlled, addressed properly. Let's start with a clear definition on what anger is. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary describes anger as a strong feeling of displeasure. Anger can also be a feeling of hostility, rage, irritability. There's nothing wrong with feeling angry. It is a valid emotion. What we want to be mindful of is how we express our anger, how we respond to anger. So I always say there's nothing ever wrong with being angry. We just want to watch how long we stay angry. I like the quote by the philosopher Aristotle. And it goes, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power and is not easy. And in a nutshell, what that quote is saying is using your anger as a solution, that's difficult for a lot of people. Everybody don't always know how to turn their anger into a solution instead of having it to become a problem. And when anger shows up inside of our relationships, it can be one of the emotions to break the relationship down easily. It can cover the love that exists inside of the relationship. It covers the love that the person naturally has inside of them. And I like for my light to shine. I like for my love to show. And I prefer that over anger. And if I am angry, I certainly like to turn that into a solution. So when anger is not managed, it can cause hurt, pain, stress, and several other problems. So how do we manage the anger inside of our relationships? Remember, the most important relationship is the one that you have with yourself. So the first strategy is acknowledging that anger is a problem, looking at the anger triggers and thinking about the problems the anger causes. It can be your motivation for change. If you understand what the triggers are, if you understand what kind of problems it's causing in your relationships or your life, that can be your motivation to change it. Because if you're tired of dealing with the same problem, and you want a solution, you want to feel differently, you want to live differently, that certainly can be your motivator to change. And so when you're trying to figure out why anger is a problem, here are some of the questions you can ask yourself. One, what hurt me? And I say all the time, before you're angry about anything, you're usually hurt about it first. You're hurt first. So the other question is, what am I stressed out about? And stress, sometimes the layer that sits right under stress is anger. And so just figuring out what you're stressed out about. Is it you don't have enough money? Or are you underemployed? Are you stressed out about a deadline at work? Have you piled too much onto your plate? Have you said yes to something and you wanted to say no to it? So now you are stressed out and mad with yourself because you did not say what you really wanted and now you are frustrated? Are you know, you're frustrated, or are you stressed out because you don't have enough money for a project? Just figuring those things out can go a long way. And the other question is, what expectations are not being met? What are you not getting? You know, what did you expect and is not happening? Did you expect once you completed a project for somebody, they were going to be friendlier to you? You were going to get a promotion. They were going to love you. They were going to, what were the expectations? And being able to take a look at what your expectations were and what has not been met, that can give you information, and that certainly can help you manage that emotion. So, you know, anger has many functions. Sometimes, believe it or not, we use anger to protect ourselves because we can be mean, snappy, and just grumpy because we don't want to allow people to get too close. Or we feel like if we show anger, people won't take us as being weak. It's like, well, you know, nice people get stumped all over, and I used to be nice, and that's not going to happen to me anymore. But if I'm mean, if people can see my anger, that's a way that sometimes people are using anger to protect themselves from getting hurt, like they were hurt in the past. And people also use anger to control the environment and others around them, because if you show up mean or very aggressive and verbal, it kind of makes people fall in line who may not be as assertive or confident. And so when we create an environment of intimidation, and that intimidation can look like threatening somebody, if you don't do this, I'll take this away. If you don't do this, I'll leave you. If you don't do that, you know, it's just a threat. It's a threat that's in the air. And anger is being used to control that. So anger doesn't always have to look like somebody taking their fist and punching a hole in a wall, kicking over trash cans, kicking the dog, but it can be done in a very subtle way. And it is controlling. It is manipulating. There is a increased sense of fear that's in the air. Now, a study was done years ago that found the most common type of child maltreatment is verbal aggression. And when I say verbal aggression, I'm talking about negative statements. And this was found in parent-child relationships. And those negative statements can look like belittling children, threatening them, teasing and shouting. I mean, children can grow up in a household of anger that really impacts who they are. They can either learn the behavior and become angry individuals themselves, and they learn to control others and control the environment and intimidate others because they learn that, or it can really make them insecure. They don't feel confident. They don't feel confident enough to speak up for themselves or say what they want because of being afraid, because they lived in that fear for so long, being afraid of being criticized, belittled, because that's what they learned. And it certainly can impact the relationship that they have with themselves and others. So if you are a person, you find yourself feeling insecure, afraid to say what you want, afraid to speak up, just being able to acknowledge that part of it, where it comes from, it can certainly help you, because you may be angry about it too. Just because you don't shout, yell, or create this atmosphere of intimidation, it doesn't mean that you're not angry, because we can be angry in a passive aggressive way too, especially when we have learned it and somebody was, you know, we lived in that environment as a child. And that can, being angry in a passive aggressive way, is, you know, silent treatment, just shutting down, isolating yourself, withdrawing your affection and your love for people. It's like, well, one day you love me and the next day you don't. What is that? I thought we were good. And that can, you know, that is like a a passive aggressive form of anger. You know, this person is calling and you don't answer, and it's like, just stew, you know, but you're not saying to them, I feel a certain way, or this was my experience. That's just the way that the person has learned to deal with anger, but they really are angry about something. Now, anger does look different from one person to the next. Like I said, in some people, it may be in a passive aggressive way. Others may have outbursts, yelling, rage. And what anger is, it is a response to hurt, frustration, anxiety, or fear. But you want some good news, though? You want some good news? You get to choose how you will express your anger. That's that power of choice that sits within you. You don't have to be a yeller. You don't have to be a screamer. You don't have to stew. You don't have to isolate. You don't have to punch a hole in the wall. You don't have to have road rage. You don't have to plot revenge against people. There's a better way to do all of that. And the third strategy is evaluating your thoughts. What you think and feel about a situation will affect your response. Anger can produce negative thoughts, or you can use it to produce solutions. Positive. Those are positive thoughts. So, you know, if you stop watering the negative thoughts that cause anger, that can certainly stop them from growing. When you change what you believe about a situation, you can change what you do. And when I talk to people about controlling their thoughts, one of the biggest questions I get often is, how do I change my thoughts? That's easier said than done. I keep hearing that. Well, one of the ways we do that is to think about your results, or to think about the outcome that you want. Just doing that alone is changing the thought, because now you're not thinking about the problem. You're not thinking about the person that pissed you off. You're not thinking about somebody not giving you what you wanted. You're thinking about another way to get what you want. You're thinking about the results, the solutions. Those are different thoughts, and that's how you change that. And you also get to think about your choices. You get to think about your options. And another way you change your thought is to reframe it. And one of the ways that will be helpful in you reframing that is getting a different perspective to somebody. Talk to somebody. You know, if you don't have anybody that you're close to, friends or family members or support systems, you know how many support lines there are? Even if you call a customer service line, you know, say if your Bluetooth stopped working and you're angry that the clerk, somebody sold you a Bluetooth and they told you it was the best. They sold you some sort of Bluetooth device and you're like, this is crap. I can't believe I stood 30 minutes in that store talking to them about this device and it doesn't even work. Well, you know what? Just calling the 1-800 number, that customer support line connected to that Bluetooth, and saying, hey, this was my experience today or the other week. I bought a Bluetooth device. They told me such and such and such. Just talking to somebody else about that, they may be able to come back with an explanation that you never thought of and say, you know what, actually, ma'am or sir, these devices, they typically have a lifespan, or if they have sat in the warehouse, da 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 da, just some different information that could change the way you even see the problem or what you believe the clerk did or did not do to you. So just being able to talk through that, and it helps you to dispute some information that just may not be true. The more information you have about something, the better decision, the more you can make a better decision because you have more information. So when we change our thoughts and we start reframing the way we think about things and just looking at our choices, I think about it like this. Okay, so I am in a hurry. I'm trying to get to a meeting. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. How can I be late to this meeting? I am a part of this meeting. So bam, I get a red light. Right then and there, I have to make a choice. whether I'm going to run this red light, because remember, I'm feeling a little anxious right now. I'm a little stressed. So very quickly, I need to make a judgment call whether or not to run the red light, or I can start thinking about all the consequences. So immediately, if it's going from red to yellow, I'm just going to go ahead and stop, because I would have already thought about a couple of things just in those few seconds, like being T-boned, okay, not having the opportunity to look a couple of ways to make sure that somebody is not as in a hurry as I am, or not paying attention. I'm going to think about paying the consequence of a ticket. I certainly prefer to spend my money on something else than a ticket. And thirdly, hurting somebody else. Or and there is a fourth one, my insurance rate's going up. So there's a lot to consider. It's like, you know what, let me just stop it right here. And we can run down all of those examples in our head very quickly, but we learn to do that when we get angry. That's something that you start thinking about ahead of time. You don't wait till you get angry and try to put all those skills in place. That's something, if you know that anger is a problem for you, that's something that you start doing on a daily basis, so it becomes a habit for you. And what you're doing two different things there. One, you are changing your thoughts. You're changing the way you think about things, and you're practicing your response ahead of time. So, and that can be very powerful within itself. So there's a saying, when you start paying attention to things, your relationships to things change. When you start paying attention to things, your relationships to things change. Now, here's the fourth strategy. There are some tools that's always immediately available to you. I call these our mental tools: forgiveness, patience, and love. I see forgiveness as a way to just move on and let go. I love the quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it reads, "For every minute you remain angry, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind." Look, I am not willing to give up my peace of mind. I mean, there's nothing like a peace of mind, my goodness. And I'm not willing to give that up. There's a quote, anything that robs you of your peace is expensive. Anything that robs you of your peace is expensive. And I know for me, I cannot afford that. I cannot afford to be robbed of my peace. My peace is absolutely necessary. Do you want people to love you or fear you? I want people to love me, because you know what? Respect is love. Respect is patience. Respect is forgiveness, because I want them to be able to forgive me just like I want to forgive them. It goes a long way. I mean, anytime anger sits inside of your heart, that means that people who are really close to you, there's a piece of your heart that they don't have access to, because anger is sitting there. That anger represents darkness. Peace and love represents the light. So I love words like calming, peaceful. And when I hear anger and when I see it, I see the darkness and I see the chaos. What do you choose? Chaos or darkness? Or do you choose peace and light? All right, that's my time. Thank you so much for joining me. If you haven't already, please subscribe to my podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Music. You'll receive a notification every time I publish a podcast. If anybody has not told you today, let me be the first to tell you, you are amazing. Onward, upward, and beyond.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson. Want more? Visit kwspeaks.com. That's kwspeaks.com for the latest inspirational blogs.